Hallelujah.
Amen.
I can't hear you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let me turn to your neighbor, and if you're a believer, say to him or her, it shall be well with you. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will strengthen you. The peace of God shall be your portion. The Lord will make you to excel. You will be better than your equals. This year, 2017, the Lord will take you further. In the name of Jesus. Like we read yesterday in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 12, it said, when the righteous man rejoice, he said, it brings great glory. I'd like you to lift up your hands tonight and look for a song from the depth of your heart and use it to worship the Lord. The choir sang that we are spreading. And I'd like you to know that he that is not ready to stretch cannot spread. To stretch requires effort. To stretch is painful. Sometimes you stretch yourself and your heart will hook you. And you feel the pain of that stretching from your heart. He that is not ready to stretch will not likely spread. Let's begin tonight's meeting by appreciating the name of the Lord. Lift your hands above your head and tell him he's good. Acknowledge his faithfulness. Pick a song tonight and sing it to him. Sing a song of praise to him. Let's worship him. The God we serve is a good God. In his presence, there is no prayer. Everything is prayer forevermore. He is the one who makes lines to fall unto us in pleasant places. I can't hear you, friends. Lift your hands above your head. Let your voice be louder and let's worship Jesus here.
You are.
Thank you, Father. Holy, holy are you, Lord God, Almighty, worthy,
worthy is the Lamb.
Somebody say,
worthy is the Lamb.
Can I hear you say,
worthy is the Lamb.
Blessed be thy your name, Lord. Thank you, Father, for tonight. Lord, please speak to us. Let your name alone be glorified. Thank you, Father, for we are prayed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And the people of God will say it louder, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Please take your seats. I'd like to say thank you. I appreciate the name of the Lord for yet another time in his presence. And I want to say thank you to our beloved pastor, Pastor Mrs. Demola Obimbe, for this great privilege. And to all the pastors in the house tonight, I'd like to say you're welcome, sirs, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And to the entire church, I bless the Lord for your lives. And it's my prayer that the Lord will do more for us.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will take us further.
Amen.
He will take us higher.
Amen.
It's my prayer that the Lord will open our eyes of understanding. In the name that is above all name.
Amen.
Not only will the spirit that comes at salvation be our portion, but the spirit from above will come upon us.
Amen.
And we shall become another man.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. We'll just read verses 1 to 3. I'll read verse 1, you will read verse 2, and together we will read verse 3. Now I'd like to share with us tonight 5 prophetic pillars that if you hold on to them, you will surely excel in life. Praise the Lord. I say to people over and over that mathematics is one of the simplest courses to pass in life. Because it's a course that follows principle. And once you know the principle behind the question that you've been given, it is very, very easy. The God that we serve is a God of principles. Once we don't understand the principle of what we is asking us to do, most likely the exercise will be in futility. And I see, believe sincerely from the depth of my heart that God's expectation for us is not to crawl, is not to walk, but is to fly. I share with us a story tonight before we read the Bible passage. I was passing a church, two stories. I was passing a church in Lagos, and the women had a meeting on Saturday. I was not in that meeting. I didn't know what was discussed in that meeting, but God stands to be my witness tonight, and there is no liar that will get to heaven. I woke up very early in the morning to pray, Sunday morning. I was tired. So my head was on the wall trying to gather strength. And as I laid on the bed, resting on the wall, I started hearing voices. And the Holy Spirit said to me, pay attention. And I heard what was discussed Saturday evening in the church. So I got to church the Sunday morning, and I said, what God didn't send me? I said it to the church. I said, some women met yesterday. And the funniest part of it was that I could decode the voice of the people that were speaking. And I was like, what's this? Let me give us another example. 2005, I was pastoring a church in Port Harcourt. The choir misbehaved. I'm a very blunt and disciplined person. The choir misbehaved. And, you know, Bishop Oyedepo, by the grace of God, I grew, you know, I mean, that's my foundation that Pastor redeemed. He said something that must be part of us. He said, this destiny without discipline will soon decay. There is no destiny that we get to hide. If it's not discipline, it will be a destiny in mess. So they misbehaved, and I disbanded the choir. And, you know, they had a meeting, and in that meeting they said, oh, let's go and meet the pastor and confront him. Who are you? If I'm like this today, can you think how I will look like in 2005? And I was pastoring in a church of close to 1,000. So they came to meet me, and one of them came and sat in front of me and said, how dare you disband the choir? And as she was ranting and shouting, I bowed my head, asking the Lord, what do I do? And the Lord said to me, ask her this question. So I said to her, how dare you challenge me? So she looked up, and I said, you lesbian? Because that was what the Holy Spirit put in my heart. And she began to pant. Because of a truth, by the time we closed the meeting that night, there was no hidden thing that was not exposed. Praise God. Excellence is a reality. It is possible. Praise the Lord. God can make you excel, but please pay attention to it. That excellence honors God, and excellence draws people. Excellence has ability to pull people to your side. Glory be to Jesus. Let me say to your neighbor, I require your 100% attention tonight. But listen to me. I want to say this. You know, the Bible says, listen to me, please, friends. Listen to me. I traveled all the way from Nigeria, and I need to speak to you from the depth of my heart tonight. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, it said, the servant does not hold the sword in vain. You know that? So let it be known that by the grace of God, I pray that God himself will minister to us. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. Can we read together? I'll read verse 1. And you will read verse 2, and together we'll read verse 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Can we read verse 3 together? To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise, spirit of heaviness, that they may call the tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, and he may be glorified. Praise the Lord. It's my prayer tonight that in your life the Lord shall be glorified. If you are saying amen, come on, say it loud and clear. I'd like to share with us five things that I want to call the prophetic pillars of grace for you to excel. Number one, if you will excel in life, you must be a man. You must be consistent. And whatever God has asked you to do, friends, you must be consistent. I like to say to you that the beginning of every journey in life is always rough. But it is your consistency that brings the best of the journey. For a man that is consistent, there's the word no is not in the dictionary. Now, look at the story of this man. Number one, consistency. Look at the story of Elisha. He was anointed. God told Elijah to go and anoint him. Am I right? Was he anointed? No. He was not. Now, look at the journey in 2 Kings chapter 2. Verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah said to him, God has sent me. They were in Gilgal. And he said, God has sent him to Bethel. He said, stay in Gilgal. So he said, no, I'm going with you. What does Gilgal represent? In Joshua chapter 5, verse 9, God said, on this day will I roll away the reproach of Egypt. I'm praying for somebody saying amen. Tonight, hey, whatever is called a reproach in your life, may the Lord roll it away.
Amen.
Now, they moved from verse 1 to verse 3. They got to Bethel, and he said, stay in Bethel. God has sent me to Jericho. Now, pay attention, as they got to Bethel, certain men, they were not numbered, approached him and said, do you know that your master will be taking off thy head today? They were actually reproaching him because Elisha was not part of the lineage of prophets. He was a servant. And that's why when you read the whole of his encounter in 2 Kings, there was never a time they sell the prophet. What they were saying is the man of God. He was never referred to as a prophet, but the man of God, because he got into that race, not because he was of the lineage of the prophet. So they said to him, he said, God has sent me to Jericho. He said, stay here in Bethel. Elisha again said, out of being consistent, said to him, I am going with you. How many of us that are seated tonight are consistent with God, or you are consistent with your dreams? What do I refer to as your dream? Your dream is the picture of the future God has put in your heart. Every man must have a dream. So they got to Jericho. Verse 5. The people mocked him again, discouraged him. Said, do you know that your master will be taking off the head today? He said, yes, I know. Hold your peace. They got to Jordan. Now, pay attention. When you read verse 7, you will discover there that the Bible says, he said, 50 sons of prophet. In Bethel, they didn't mention the number. In Jericho, they did not mention the number, but the number was mentioned in Jordan, because the darkest part of the night is a sign that the day is about to break. The most darkest part of the night is a clear sign that the day is about to break. 50 sons of prophet said to him, and they stood afar and they were watching, ready to mock. So Elijah parted Jordan and they crossed over. And by the time they crossed over, that's verse 9. He asked him a question. He said, now ask me what I shall do for you. And he said to him, give me the double portion of your spirit. And Elijah replied him. He said, you have asked a hard thing. He said, nevertheless, if you see me, it will be yours. Now, I move from number one, that until you are consistent. And I move to number two, what you see is what you become. Many of us may see me as a jester tonight, and you go home with that. And if you see me as a prophet tonight, you go home with a blessing. Because it is what you see that you become. It is what you see that Jehovah will empower in your life. He can't do more than what you see. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10, there was this great prophecy concerning Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. He says, see, I have this day set you over nations. I believe somebody will say amen.
Amen.
Over kingdoms. Amen. To root out. Amen. To pull down. To destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Great prophecies. So God now sent an angel to ask Jeremiah, forget about the prophecy. What can you see? And he replied, he said, for I see the branch of an almond tree. And he said, in verse 12, he said, you have seen well. Say, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Until you see, there is no performance. Until you see, there is no performance. Friends, until you see, there is no performance. Do you know, sir, in life, what you see most likely determines your action. The reason why people come to church and make noise and think they are in a night of a thousand lives is not because they are not, it's not because they don't fear God, but they have not seen the aspect of God that can make them to reference God. Look at this. Rachel has been barren for many years. But in chapter 30 of Genesis, Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30, verse 1. The Bible says, and when Rachel saw that she was barren, when she saw that she was barren, because whatever you see and you are able to table before God, solution comes. The same Genesis chapter 30, verse 22 and 23, the Bible says, and God remembered Rachel. Say, and God remembered her. Now, please pay attention. What you see is what you become. I'm not talking about these physical eyes. Number one, you need to be consistent. To be consistent. How do we define to be consistent again? The simplest way to define, to be consistent is in James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. He said, whoever that is not stable, he said, let him not think he will get anything from God. Instability, when you are not stable, disqualifies you. Number two, I said, you need to see. And I said, it is what you see that you become. Look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 30. Matthew chapter 14, verse 30. Matthew chapter 14, verse 30. Everybody read. Now, please hold it. Praise the Lord. And when he saw the wind, praise the Lord. When he did what? I can't hear you. People that are ready to excel, I can't hear you. When he saw, the question is this. There was storm on the high sea. They were alone. And Jesus came to rescue them. Now, let me ask you a question. Before Jesus came, is it that Peter did not see the wind? Sir? Yes. He was aware of the wind. But as Jesus came, his focus shifted from the wind, from the storm, and he began to look at Jesus. So much that faith built up in his heart and said to Jesus, I can walk the way you are walking. And Jesus Christ said, come. But as he stepped out and walked a little bit, his focus shifted from Jesus Christ. And he saw the wind. And the moment he saw the wind, he began to sink. It is what you see that you become. And let's make it deeper a little bit from what our pastor's wife said this evening. It is what you know that you see. You can't see better than you know. How do I know? There are two places that Jesus Christ wept in the Bible. In John chapter 11 verse 35, that's the shortest verse the Bible says, and Jesus wept. In Luke chapter 19 verse 41, the Bible says, and when Jesus beheld the city, he wept over the city. Praise the Lord. As I believe that God is weeping over this nation, and many of us that we're in, we can't even see that God is weeping. There's a club in London, I've asked people, I said, people can be, I don't think any human being should reason very well. Who reasons very well should be able to go to such a place. They call the place hellfire. And I've asked people that, if you are going to such a club and they now ask you, where are you going to? How do you reply? How do you reply? Say you are going to. Because Romans chapter 1, beginning from verse 27, he said, because they did not retain God in their knowledge. And it's so painful that many of us have also joined them that we can't reason the way normal human being reasons again. We can't reason the way normal human beings should reason. We are no longer reasoning that way again. Praise the Lord. So as he saw the wind, he began to sink. So it is what you see that he become. Now, Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 19, verse 41, he looked at the city and wept over the city. And in verse 42, what did he say in verse 42? Saying, if you had known. Somebody say, can you read? Even especially in this day, the things that we make for your peace. But now, they are hidden from your eyes. The things that are supposed to bring you peace, if you had known them. The things that are supposed to bring you promotion, if only you know them. The things that are supposed to change your life, if only you know. The things that are supposed to make you excel, if only you know. He said, but now they are hid from your eyes. And when you read verse 43, he said, let me tell you what will happen. And that's what is happening. Excuse me, like I said to you yesterday, if you think that there is no money in Africa, you are deceiving yourself. I slept in an hotel in Frankfurt, Germany, and I looked at the tablet and said, is this what they call Europe? What's here? I peeped through the window, and I was like, this is too dirty. Excuse me, I can confirm to us the number of Lexus that we have on American roads, they are not up to the number of Lexus that we have in Africa. Gradually, wealth are beginning to shift because the nation that wants no God. He said, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around your life and surround you and close you on every side. Verse 44. He said, "And level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." It is what you know that you see. It is what you see that you become. So Elijah said to him, he said, "You have asked what looks impossible." He said, "But when you see me, it shall be yours." When Saul, when Lot was separated from Abraham, in Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 and 15, God brought out Abraham. He said, "As far as you can see," said, "I will give to you." I ask you, in the 2017 conference, what can you see? Praise God. Hallelujah. What can you see? Number three, number one, I said consistency. Number two, I said it is what you see. And I buttress it by saying it is what you know. Number three, there is no natural man that can receive the things of God. It doesn't matter if you are sitting at the front row or you are sitting at the back. As long as you are natural, you can never excel in the proportion that God wants you to excel. It's not a cause. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He said, "For a natural man will not receive the things of God, because to him they are foolishness." He said, "For the things of God, they are spiritually discerned." A natural man, a man who does not understand the things of the spirit. Because what brings you change in life is not in your muscle. What brings a change of story in life is not even in the environment. What brings a change of story in life has nothing to do with location. It is the spirit that is at work in you. I look at you and I see what you are doing, and I can tell the kind of spirit that is at work in you. You know, I pondered a lot yesterday. I asked questions, and the Holy Spirit, you know, said to me this evening, he said, "Talk about the Holy Spirit." He said, "Talk about the Holy Spirit." He says, "Speak extensively about the Holy Spirit." Now, I'd like you to understand that there is a difference between the spirit within and the spirit upon. At salvation, there is, you know, once you get born again, there is a measure of the spirit that comes into you. That's the spirit within. And as you begin to grow and thirst for the things of God, with impartation, the spirit upon, which is the Holy Spirit, comes upon you. But look at this. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus Christ says so many things. In Acts chapter 1, he said, "Ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost shall come upon you." In Acts chapter 2, they received the power. In Acts chapter 3, they were healed. You know, the man by the beautiful gate was healed. In Acts chapter 4, it talks about the prayer they pray. And in verse 33 and 34, the Bible says, "Great grace was upon them and none lacked anything." In Acts chapter 5, talks about Ananias and Sapphira. In Acts chapter 6, that was where they said, "Oh, we will give ourselves to ministry of the word." In Acts chapter 10, God visited Cornelius. In Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 12 talks about where Peter was released from the prison. Acts chapter 14 talks about Lydia. Acts chapter 16 talks about Paul and Silas. But in Acts chapter 19, Peter go to Ephesus and he preached the gospel. It was like pouring water on the ground that is already sealed. Nothing happened. He struggled to preach. So he now said, he asked them in 19 verse 2. He said, "Since you believe, have you received the Holy Spirit?" So it shows clearly that there is a great difference between the spirit within and the spirit upon. Now, as he asked them, they replied him. He said, we don't even know anything about the Holy Spirit. So he preached to them and they received. But by the time you read Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12, the Bible says, out of him, they took handkerchiefs. And as they take the handkerchiefs around, people were being healed and delivered from the oppressions of the devil. Excuse me, the church is not meant for Africans. God did not only save Africans. If the mayor of the Spirit of God can return back to the church, then we are able to win our community. There's a lady in Wolverhampton, if she knows I'm in town, she will travel from Wolverhampton here. She's a Caucasian. There is no time of the year that I visit Wolverhampton that she will not buy a gift for me. Very expensive gift. And I ask myself a question, what has happened to this lady that she can relate freely with an African preacher whose accent is even not their own accent, except for the Holy Spirit? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So number one, what was number one? Number two? Number three? So if you are not natural, what then do you become? You must be supernatural. You must receive the impartation of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1. And Apostle Paul was praying a prayer. He said, beginning from verse 16, he said that their eyes of understanding might be enlightened. He was actually praying for the church in Ephesus as a result of what he saw in them in Acts 19. I pray for you, church. May God open your eyes. Amen. May God brighten your understanding. Amen. May the Holy Spirit fill you up. Amen. I can't hear your amen. Amen. Because what turns you from a mediocre to an excellent person is the spirit that is at work in you. What made the madman in Mark chapter 5 a madman is not because of the vicinity, nor because of, you know, maybe he was smoking weed, but because of the spirit that entered into him. What made Daniel to excel was not because he was a stranger a slave in a strange land, but because of the spirit that was in him. In Mark chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus Christ was asking the madman a question. He said, who are you? And he said, we are legion. He said, because the spirit that is inside of him, they are not just one, they are many. They asked in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, a question. Because once you have this spirit, it will differentiate you. It will make you to become preferable. It will make you the choice of your own generation. And I see you becoming the choice. Amen. The next career job, you will be the choice. Amen. The next whatever application we are going to do, God will favor you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon you. Amen. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Bible says, it said, for they preferred Daniel. It said, Daniel distinguished himself. You know, that's King James. New King James, but King James Version says, he said, and Daniel was preferred above all the satraps and the governor. Why? Because an excellent spirit was in him. What kind of spirit do you carry? Do you know the spirit that is in you determines how your life looks like? Saul, the king, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, beginning from verse 15 to 21, when a day before God has spoken to Samuel, I'm bringing a man before you tomorrow, who you will anoint as king over Israel. And when he got there, they asked him, is it not you the desire of all Israel? He said, it's like you don't know me. He said, I'm of the Benjamin. He said, my father is the least in Benjamin. He said, I'll come of this. But in chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says, when Samuel anointed him and gave him prophecies, and by the time you get to verse 6, he said, the Spirit of God shall come upon you. Let me say to your neighbor, the Spirit of God shall come upon you. And what did he say there? He said, and you shall be turned into another man. Amen. I can't hear you, amen. Yeah. Help me say to your neighbor, you shall be turned into another man. Can you say it loud and clear? Can you say it loud and clear? Can you say it loud and clear? Say it at the top of your voice. Come on, shout and say, neighbor. The Spirit of God will come upon you, and you shall be turned into another man. And you know, as he was leaving the presence of Samuel that day in verse 9, the Bible says all the prophecies came to pass. I pray for somebody saying amen. All that you have received in this conference this weekend will come to pass. Now look at it in verse 11. Of 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 11 and 12, he stepped down and the Spirit came upon him and he began to prophesy. And people who had known him before looked at him and said, is he also a prophet? And the Bible says in verse 12, he said, from that day, the proverb changed in Israel. This weekend, by the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit, may you break record. Amen. Somebody is not hearing me. Amen. There is no believer who can say amen. Amen. May you break record. Amen. May you break record. Amen. May you believe to fly. Amen. In the name of Jesus. May you begin to fly. May you break record. Academically break record. Financially break record. May you break record. In East Midland, may you break record. In your studies, may you break record. May you be reckoned with. May you begin to fly. Beyond your crawling, may you begin to fly. May you begin to fly. You will break record. Either the devil likes it or not, you will break record. Come on, say, I will break record. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 15. Isaiah 32, verse 15. Everybody read. One, two, go. Listen. I know that this is not the way we watch football. It's not. Can you read as if you want to stretch so that you can spread? One, two, go. Somebody say, until. Say it louder. Can you say it louder? Can you say it louder? Can you say it louder? Now, look at it this way. For example, is it CB? I mean, what do they call your grade in school now? Amen? Those in the university, what do they call grades in school? Is it CPGA or what do they? CGP, am I right? CPA. CGPA. How many of us are in the university here? What do they call your grades in school? Praise God. Sir? Cumulative. Okay. Okay. Now, for example, if you are, you know, maybe your CGPA is 3 points. And by that 3 points, the Holy Spirit flowed into your life. You know what it says here? That you will change from that 3 points. Maybe 3 points is 2-2. You will change from 3 points. You will change to 4 points, which is 2-1. And it won't stop there. It will take you to 5 points, which is first class. He said, until the Spirit is poured upon you from on high. He said, then your wilderness, your pains, your shame, your sorrow, your disgrace will be turned into a fruitful field. Amen. And your fruitful field will become a forest. Amen. But this will never happen until the Spirit is poured upon you. You know, that's why I was asking the question. You know, eagles don't fly. How many of us knows that? Do you know that eagles don't fly? Am I right? Do they fly? What do they do? What's the meaning of soaring? They move by the wings. They release their wings and the wind will carry them. You see, until the Holy Spirit comes into us and he overshadows us, there are some things he will take it away from us. When you look at that Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, he said, he will give us wings like an eagle. He said, you will run and not be weary. He said, you will walk and not faint. But concerning the eagle, there was no alternative. You will just fly. You won't struggle to fly. So number one, I said, you must be consistent. Number two, number three, I can't hear you. Number three, loud and clear. Praise the Lord. And number four, just one more. Number four, you cannot compromise righteousness if you will excel. You see, what made the church in the Europe to fail is at the point they began to compromise righteousness. Don't say it will not happen. We have seen churches that have become empty today. May our church not become empty. Amen. I can't hear your amen. Amen. May your home family not become empty. Amen. But as long as we will not compromise righteousness. You see, we mentioned this evening the story of Daniel, but we also need to understand the beginning of Daniel, because behind every glory, there is a story. Behind every glory, there is a story. Daniel chapter 1, verse 9. Daniel chapter 1, verse 9. 9 and 10. 10. Okay, let's start from verse 8. Everybody read. Hold it. Everybody read loud and clear. Can you read where you have Daniel? Can you put your name? 1, 2, go. But I, Demola, propose in my heart that I will not defile myself. Can you read one more time? Can you say it loud and clear? Please go to verse 20. Go to verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, the man who did not defile himself, the Bible says, he was found 10 times better. 10 times. Isaiah chapter 54, many a times we love to read, you know, Isaiah 54, verse 15 and 17, but we never care to read verse 14. Everybody, let's read verse 15, let's read verse 17 together. Let's read verse 17 quickly, quickly. Everybody read loud and clear. If it's a prayer to you, want to go. Now, if you have prayed that prayer, come and say the loudest amen.
Amen.
Oh, I love this. Must be a praying church. If you have prayed that prayer without missing it, let your amen be louder than that of your neighbor.
Amen.
No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper.
Amen.
Wherever they have gathered the weapon, the Lord will shatter them.
Amen.
Now, let's read verse 15. Verse 15. Indeed, they will surely assembly, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for thy sake. If you have prayed that prayer, come on, say the loudest amen.
Amen.
Help me tap your neighbor and say they will fall for thy sake. But everybody look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. He said, in righteousness you will be established concerning 15 and 17. You shall be far from oppression, from fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. They will not come once you are righteous. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Praise God. Number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. Glory be to Jesus. And number five, as we close, please understand that when your time comes, there is need of mercy. Praise God. Let's read Isaiah chapter 16, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 16, verse 5. Everybody read, want to go. What we establish the throne? I can't hear you. Now, look at wickedness that the Bible talks about in verse 14. Verse 4 of the same chapter. It said, let the outcasts dwell with you, O Moab. Be a shelter for them from the face of the spoiler. From extortioner is at end, and devastation ceased. The oppressors are consumed out of the land. But in verse 5, he said, in mercy, irrespective of the extortioner, irrespective of wickedness, he said, in mercy shall thou be established. You see, what God has said concerning this year's conference that you will swear, it will surely be a reality.
Amen.
But mercy must be at work. Somebody shout mercy.
Mercy.
Can I hear you say that?
Mercy.
Psalm 102 verse 13. He said, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her has come. Somebody say, thou shalt arise and have mercy on me, for the time to favor me has come. Somebody say, the set time. Come on, say it loud and clear. Come on, say it loud and clear. When is that set time? When is that set time? When is that set time? What will he do on you? He will arise and have. You see, sometimes we are not qualified for what God intends to do, but mercy qualifies us. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 13, Moses said, he said, if I found grace in thy sight, he said, show me thy way. In verse 18, he said, show me thy glory. And God replied him, he said, for I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. He said, for I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And he said further to him, he said, no man sees me and live. In other words, Moses, you are not qualified. But he said, the following verse, he said, when I pass by, I pray for you in every area you have been disqualified. May the mercy of God qualify you. Amen. I can't hear your amen. Amen. If you are saying amen, come and say it louder. Amen. That's why Romans chapter 9 verse 16 says, it is therefore not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. How many of us are ready for God's mercy? May God show you mercy. Amen. Beyond mercy, grace must be at work in your life. Now, I see life that people try. There is a vacuum in every man to be filled. There is something in you that is crying for relevance. There is something in you that is crying for the next level. Now, whatever is in us that cries for the next level, some want to fill the same thing with hard work. Somebody say hard work. Say it as if you mean it. Some want to fill the same thing with smart work. Somebody say smart work. And some want to fill the same thing with grace work. Somebody say grace work. Now, which one do you want? Hard work? No, you need to be hardworking, mommy. You know, the reason why we are here is because we have to be hardworking. Because people here, you know, number one, you know, in Africa, we work, you know, when you are working in Africa, they know that this is an African man. Because here, the back of their foot don't touch the floor. Because they have to walk very fast. But in Africa, we are relaxed and we walk majestically as kings and queens. Praise the Lord. So which one do you want? Are you sure? Are you sure? Now, I've come to discover that hard work does not settle a man. Hard work is good to be hardworking. But hard work can't guarantee any future. Excuse me. It's not, you know, if it's good to be hardworking, but it's extremely out of place to be smart work, to do smart work. Praise the Lord. How many of us have gone to, I'm not going to use that example. Praise the Lord. No, but sincerely speaking, pardon me, I'm not trying to insult anybody. Please pardon me. Now, there's something they call makeup test. You know what they call makeup test? Who knows what they call makeup test? It's not receipt. There's difference between receipt and makeup. Amen. Who can help us? It's like people have been here for a very long time. Now, for example, if you write an exam and you score 39% and they're like, oh no, we need to help you so that you can pass this course. So they say, okay, come back, come and write. That's what they call makeup test. Praise the Lord. No, now everyone who is involved in smart work, they try to make up. Praise the Lord. They do what? You see, they are hungry, but they look at you and they are smiling. You are the best thing that has ever happened to me. And instead of them, they are not smiling. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 21 and to 23, Gehazi ran after. And everybody that does smart work, they are always running when nobody is pursuing them. You know, thank God that this is Europe and not Africa. If you were to be in Africa, you know what they would be calling pastor and pastor missus? Mommy and daddy. Mommy. Some people will see them and they will prostrate and kneel down. And in their heart, they are not really prostrate. Praise the Lord. They just want to impress. They just want to impress. Because they know that if they are able to impress pastor, he is able to also recommend them for so many things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In fact, there was a church. The last church I pastored in Lagos before now. It was quite a big church. My phone was perpetually, I kept it in silence. Because sometimes to 11 in the night, some people might call me and say, we just want to greet you, sir. To 12. Calling to greet me. January 2014, I was transferred out of that church, June 2014. January 2014, I told God, I said, please stop these people or else my house will become a supermarket. Because the gift they gave us, in 1 year, we can't finish it. And by 2015, that I was no longer their pastor. My house was like desert. And what has changed? Because the position I now occupy is no longer beneficial to them. So they had moved on. And it won't last. Gehazi was meant to be with Elisha. So he saw gifts in the hand of Naaman and he ran after Naaman. Trying to say, okay, let me get money for my children's school fees. And the Bible says he died as a leper. Look at the man, he was a very hardworking man. Genesis chapter 31, verse 38 to 42. Hardworking. He worked for 20 years, served for 20 years in the house of his uncle. And when he was to leave, the uncle almost sent him away empty. May you not leave this land empty. I can't hear your amen. Yeah. I can't hear your amen. Yeah. Help me say to your neighbor, you will not leave this land empty. Say it as if you mean it. Okay? He said, these 20 years have I been with you. Your heirs and your female goats have not miscarried their young, have not eaten rams of your flock. Verse 39. That which was torn by the beast, I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it all. You required from my hand, whether stolen by the day or stolen by night. Verse 40. There I was in the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Verse 41. Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Verse 42, unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you will have sent me away empty-handed after 20 years. I pray for you in the place of labor. May God give you grace.
Amen.
I can't hear your amen.
Amen.
I can't hear your amen.
Amen.
I can't hear your amen.
Amen.
Sir, hard work can settle the future. Smart work cannot settle the future. Then what that settles the future? 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10. But the God of all grace. Somebody say the God of all grace.
God of all grace.
Come on, say it loud and clear.
God.
He said, after you have suffered a while. That's why I pray for you, beginning from this weekend, the season of this church, may he change.
Amen.
You will no longer struggle.
Amen.
Your church will not be empty.
Amen.
Financially, God will fill you up.
Amen.
He will surprise you on all sides.
Amen.
He said, but the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, we perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. But the God of all grace will settle you.
Amen.
The angel said to Zerubbabel in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, he said, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. In verse 7, he said, who art thou, O mountain, that will stand before Zerubbabel? He said, thou shalt become plain, shouting what? Grace, grace. It shows clearly that when grace is at work in your life, your mountains become plain. I can't hear you, amen.
Amen.
When grace is at work in your life, you will no longer fight. Grace will begin to fight for you.
Amen.
Have you been to an interview before and you're about to open your mouth? They just say, no. We have seen your CV. I think you are qualified for this job. Without defending yourself, and grace begins to defend you. Moses was speaking to God in Exodus chapter 33, verse 13. He said, if I have found grace in thy sight, he said, show me the way. And God said to him in verse 14, he said, my presence will go with you and give you rest. No more struggle. Grace brings rest. Somebody say, grace brings rest. Now listen to me. Grace is what a man receives and is sufficient. If I give you money, it will not be sufficient for you. Listen, if pastor gives you recommendation, that you see, you can show the recommendation to them and say, oh, this is what my pastor said I should give. And they'll say to you, oh, does he not, is he the most senior in your denomination? And they said, oh, no. Okay, you need to go and meet the most senior person in your denomination. But if grace is at work, it's sufficient. Somebody say, grace is sufficient.
Grace is sufficient.
Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he said, I prayed to God 3 times that he will take away the sickness. He said, but God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Somebody said to your neighbor, grace is sufficient.
Grace is sufficient.
I can't hear you.
Grace
and power moves together. You carry grace, you carry power. Listen to me. Power is what the kingdom needs. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 40. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 now. He said, the kingdom of God is not in words, but it's in power. Acts of Apostles, chapter 4, verse 33 and 34. He said, with great power and the apostle witness, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, and great grace was upon them. And in verse 34, he said, none of them lacked anything good. You carry grace, you can't lack. You live in abundance. You carry grace, you can't lack. You live in excess. You carry grace, you can't lack. You carry grace. You can love. And I close with this scripture. Number one, the five pillars that can make you to excel in life. What did I say, number one? I can't hear you. Number two. Number three. Number four. And number five. The needs for mercy and grace. Glory be to Jesus. Luke chapter 21, verse 13. Luke chapter 21, verse 13. But it shall turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Amen. I can't hear you, amen. Amen. Help me look at your neighbor eyeball to eyeball and say, 2017 conference shall turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Look at that neighbor and say, neighbor, whatever you are trusting God to do between now and the next conference, God will have multiplied it 10 times. Let's put Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. I'd like you to hold your neighbor quickly. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Ask that neighbor, are you a believer? And what's your neighbor saying? You know, the Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, it says, can two walk together except they believe? I'm sorry, said they agree. Let me ask that neighbor one more time, are you a believer? And what's your neighbor saying? You know, there's a difference between coming to church and being a believer. Help me ask your neighbor one more time, are you a believer? And what's your neighbor saying?
Yes.
And let's read verse 18 together, verse 19 together. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Are we in heaven or on earth? I can't hear you. I'm sure some people may think that we're in heaven already. Are we in heaven or hell? You will not miss heaven in Jesus' name. No, but if we are here, help me hold your neighbor and say, I agree with you. 2017 conference will turn out for you an occasion for testimony. Say to that neighbor, whatever you are trusting the Lord to do, between now and January 31st, 2017, God will have turned into testimony. Beginning from now, God will send you helper. Beginning from now, God will send you divine helper. Helpers of destiny. God will challenge your obstacles. This conference we change your place. I see the spirit of excellence entering into you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And if you have prayed that prayer, come and say the loudest amen.
Amen.
Just one more moment. Sorry, one more moment. One more point. Like mommy said, sorry. I hope I didn't embarrass you. Praise the Lord. You know, she spoke about mindset. And I just remember that I'm going to drop the mic now. Apostle Paul says something in Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Praise the Lord. He said, as many that wants to be perfect, he said, let this mind also be in you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Can we read it together? Can we have King James so that I won't confuse myself? I'm already used to King James. Okay. So you see now that it's perfect. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's read it together. One, two, go. As many as be perfect. Be those minded. Hold it. He said, as many that want to be perfect, let this mind be in you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And by the time you get to verse 9, the Bible says that God gave him a name that is above all. What is the mind that is in you? Look at the mind that Paul was talking about in verse 13 and 14. 13 and 14. He said, 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting about those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14. I praise towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. And I close with this word, that he that cannot press can never gain. What makes you to gain in life is your ability to press. There's this hymn that we normally sing. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. As we desire to be excellent, can we sincerely press towards excellence? And the Lord will bless us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Lift your hands above your head and let's worship Jesus here.
Pressing.